Session number 16717, John Everett, Reel 4.
Mr. Everett, Reel 4. What happened to you then when the police came for you?
Well, the police come and he said to John, he said, "Where's your pass?" "I haven't got a pass." "No," he said, "because we've had word," he said, "you're missing." Then he now sat down and never said no to me. And he said, "Come on." And his mum said, "Can he have something?" He said, "You'll get something to eat down at the police station. He's got to go with us. We lock him up." And as they were going out, he turned round and looked at me. And he said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm with him." He said, "Well, you come on all then." I said, "I'm with him." He said, "You come on all." So they locked us up in the civic police station down there in the Star. And he said, "You get some sandwiches in a minute." He said, "Yeah, stop there." And locked up. I said, "Oh, no, I just started railroading into him." I said, "I told you, didn't I?" I said, "What had happened?" And then he wrote, "Escort's coming down for you." And they sent escort down for us. And they took us all the way back. And then we were got locked up our own guard room. Then we were up in front of the CO. And went up. He said, "What's happened to the bikes?" Told him where they were, described where they were. Don't know if it's got the bikes, not like. And any road, he said, "You shouldn't take no notice," he said, "them old soldiers." He said, "He's an old soldier, him." And he said, "You," he said, "you shouldn't take no notice of him." And he said, "I've told him the same," he said, "and he's going to be punished for it, he is." And he got 14 days, and I got off light, I got 7 days. Because they told me, he said, he should have more sense than encouraging a young lad like me. Well, he was an old soldier, you know what I mean.
What did you have to do, 7 days CB?
You had a real spudge, clean all the dixies in the cookhouse, clean, scrub the floors, and then after you scrub them, you walk over it to make it do it again. Oh, and he had that for 7 days.
And was this at the end of your normal training or normal work?
Yes, do that, yeah.
Did you have to line up with the guard or just make your way to a job?
No, you had to go. You had to do, you know what I mean? It was like, put it this way, you're like, you were class terrible. I can't describe the word for it, you know what I mean? You were a different class to that fellow, you know what I mean? And you were punished. You were definitely punished. You know, you had to suffer. You were glad when your 7 days was over.
Did you have to go under some kind of parade with your clean uniform and equipment, etc.?
No, when you had to go and do this, you had to put your what they call fatigues on, all gear on, you know what I mean? And he was standing over here all the time. He had the probe over there, policeman, what they call our MPs, you know. And they're standing over you. And they deliberately, you cleaned it spotless. And if you've seen a little mark, you go there. And you miss that, go back. You're on your hands and knees. And then all of a sudden, you'll go out and walk through it. Look at all these footsteps. You know. And have to go and do it again, you know what I mean? Yeah, and he got 14 days, he did.
What time would this work finish for you? What time would it finish at night?
9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Well, after you finish, you were glad to get in and get yourself in the bed. Lights out, because lights out when, you know, every night the smart of people are out. The lights went out if you're in barracks.
Have you any other memories of the 17th Battalion?
Well, that's what I said. After that, carry on. I got sick. I said, they wanted volunteers to go abroad. And I was volunteer to go abroad. This Johnson volunteer to go abroad. Billy, most of the Battle Patrol volunteered. There was actually about 20 to 30 of us volunteered from our battalion to go. And they sent us all the way from Folkestone in Kent, all the way by train to Bransworth. On Bransworth, we were in Bransworth, forget now, weeks or more or less. We got rigged out with our gear, tropical gear, the old Tobies, everything, all our gear.
It's a KD.
KD, everything, got rigged out the castle.
Did you know where you were going, although you had this
No,
gear?
We didn't. We knew we were going abroad. On any road, we were on a passing out parade. Then it was going, different drafts. There was another draft there. We're on parade in Bransworth, on the square in Bransworth. And I forget his name. He was on the restaurant. And he said, now he said, you people, when you're going out, you know where you're going. You're going to fight. And he said, if you ever get in a tight corner, he said, just look at that badge. He said, that's where you're going fighting for. Don't let them down. And he went and shot himself the next day in the castle. So I don't know who he was. He definitely shot himself the next day in the castle. And we went from there and we all the way to Liverpool. That's where we joined the ship at Liverpool.
What date would this be?
Oh, I don't know the date. Couldn't tell you the date. So we were out in the Middle East in 42, and this must have been beginning of 42, no, 41, back end of 41. Don't know the date. We sailed from Liverpool, SS Letitia, I remember the name of the ship, and she was a converted armed cruiser. 20-odd guns she had aboard. And we sailed, and we had to do boat drill, you know what I mean? I think there was about 2,000 or more aboard, all RAF, all different drafts aboard, you know, because all going to different places. I don't know, we didn't know what was happening there. We knew we were there, going somewhere.
Was it crowded?
Very crowded. Some slept in hammocks, slept on decks, all over. And we went through the beer biscuit, honestly, and I never thought we'd get out of it. Terrifying. You must have been about 10, 15 foot, and she was like,
up and down.
Going. And we were in the convoy.
Were you seasick?
I was seasick. But I think everybody aboard was sick. It was that bad. Sick, I thought we were dying. And you didn't care if you did die. That's the state of seasickness. And then the ship was quite a big ship. It was a swimming pool aboard. And we used to have boxing, and there was Hindu Chinese aboard, and they used to do kickboxing, you know, recreating. And I'd do boat drill about twice a day. And then...
What was the food like on the ship?
The food was not bad at all, but you had to do your job. You had to do your turns to go in the kitchen. Thousands of plates to do, you know, like... Everybody's detailed.
To do washing and cleaning.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, everybody to do that.
And where did you eat? Where did you eat on the ship?
On the mess, they all had the mess. These ships had the mess, they all went down. You know.
And was this the same area you slept in?
No, it's a different area. But sometimes you went and just got it in your... And he got issued when we got aboard with it was like a brass tin with a chocolate in case he got torpedoed. And that was his survival kit. And he hadn't got to touch that in the tin, but most of us opened the net. You know what I mean? And then everybody had their life jacket with a light on to put it around your neck. Like cape or so out, it was like, I don't know what type they were made out of. We had boat, what they call boat drill, you know what I mean? twice, some alarms for everybody up on deck. Panic stations, but it was only practice, like.
Was there a canteen on the ship?
Oh, there was, yes. There was a place where you can go and buy drink, anything. There was, if you had money, nobody had out. Yeah, there was, but I was very fortunate aboard that ship. I was walking up the deck one day, and one of my schoolmates was a gunner aboard, but he was in the Navy, and he was from Olead, and he invited me down to their quarters a few times, you know. They were after the ship. He was on a Bofa gun, he was, and he was from Olead. And he rode this ship, we called it Sierra Leone, Freetown, is it? Freetown. And we were at town, was it? And we got told not to bargain with the boats that were coming alongside, selling fruit and all that. And you could see the water down below. And they used to shout sixpence, you know, just shot it in the water and straight in for it. And then the lads then used to put a bit of silver pound in the room, and they used to go like that, you know. They used to swear, you know, because they reckon sharks used to be in them waters. Anyway, after we left there...
You didn't get ashore?
No, nobody went ashore there. And
before we go on with the journey, a little bit more about the life on the ship that you were having to go through. You mentioned boxing. What other form of leisure did you have on the ship?
Well, like you would in the camp, you had to do...
Was the gambling cards, games?
We used to play cards, yeah. On
bingo? Or housey-housey?
No, housey-housey. Cards. Used to play a lot of cards, yeah. People used to play... That's what I learned, solo, play solo whist, not cards. Used to have cards. Plenty of recreation. And we used to have plenty of gloves. And then we used to... Like, if you didn't like, they used to have the gloves on, you know. And there was one, Harvey, I believe he belonged in the North East, the only little lad to use it. He could use himself with the gloves. Quite a few of them. And another one, he got the MM at Mercer Metro. That was Titchy Ray, they call him Titchy Ray. Ray's second name was, but we used to call him Titch because he was only a little lad. When he put his KD shorts on, they touched the floor. That's how small he was. You know what I mean? But there was plenty to do aboard ship to occupy your mind.
Did you have any duties other than the washing up and kitchen duties?
No, just cleaning duties, you know, like what they call, you had to clean, you were ordered to clean the mess floors or, you know what I mean. Everybody had their turn of that, you know what I mean. But if it was not any naughty boys, they done it. Like you did ashore, you know what I mean. Like what I got punished with. Well, there's some getting punished aboard ship, like at the same. But they weren't locked up, they weren't allowed to lock them up. The cells was forward, because I was on guard there one day, there was three, but they weren't allowed to lock them. When you're at sea, in case anything happened, they were open, you know what I mean.
Inspections carried out by the officers?
Yes, always inspection. Yeah, inspect your kit, you know what I mean, everything. And they want to know, you got punished for that if your chocolate was missing. Because everybody was issued what they call a survival kit, you know what I mean, if the ship was hit. Anyway, when we left Freetown, the old battle wagon, I remember SS, the Resolution, she joined the convoy and she had a German ship with her. The swastika was on the tunnel and they reckon she'd left the convoy and went for the ship, must have surrendered the ship, and she was coming with the convoy, the ship was, and you could see the swastika on her, and the Resolution was next to her. Forget how many ships there was on our convoy.
It's a big convoy.
Quite a size, yeah.
When you got into the hot climate, did it become more difficult on board and pleasant?
Very unpleasant, yeah. But heat, very, very sticky, you know what I mean. Actually, the heat's never bothered me all my life, you know what I mean.
Were you allowed on deck to sleep in
the
heat?
You were free. Used to walk, you know, plenty of exercise because the promenade deck, you could walk right around the ship, you know, take your walk. There was ATS aboard. You know, we had the guard their quarters. There you would have to do guard duty on board ship. On the ATS quarters, there was guard on our. I'd done two stints of that. You had to guard their quarters. Nobody allowed on there, only the ATS, you know what I mean? Anybody else, you turned them back. Doesn't matter who we was, officer or not. Yeah, nobody allowed in their quarters. It was guard on. And, you know, we pulled into... We went to Durban. Some of the convoys went somewhere else, but our ship went to Durban, and we were allowed 24 hours or forget now. Surely we got told to behave ourselves and all that. But apparently, when we got ashore there, the Aussies had been there previously and wrecked the place, caused a lot of havoc. You know, went. And the South African people were soon as... There was a woman singing on the quay there when we arrived, all in white she was. And she was... Oh, beautiful singer she was. Talk about Vera Lynn. She was... To me, she was a better singer than her, you know. Anyway, while we were ashore, something went wrong with the ship fridges. And all the meat aboard had gone soft. So we all had to disembark then, and we went to Clarewood Camp. It's on the race course in Durban, to await another ship. Well, while we were there, we got told we were bound for Singapore. That's where we were going. And while we were in Durban, so if you'd be able to find out the date, Singapore fell while we were in Durban. And while we were in Durban, I was picked out, I had to go to a funeral. One of the Durhams had died. He'd been wounded in the desert and they flew him to Africa, South Africa, and he died in hospital and they were going to give him a military funeral. And I had to go on a military funeral in Durban itself. I don't know where he was, but he went fired over his grave, buried there.
You were in the firing party, were you?
I was on the firing squad, yeah. Fired over his grave, remember that. Don't know who he was. But he died in hospital. He'd been wounded in the desert. And then, I think we were at Clarewood Camp 2 or 3 months. And the next camp up, there was an Italian prisoner of war camp. And they had been captured by Wavell's forces. And the whole band had been captured. It was an Italian band, and they always used to play music in there. We were under canvas there, like, again. And then...
Did you get to mix with the population?
Yes, I was invited out twice. It took us to their homes, gave us a lovely meal. And what we actually had done, most of our lads, we didn't know we were going to stop in this. We all whipped our hair off. We were all like... And they all thought we were convicts. And that's the truth, because we all... We didn't, you know what I mean? Because we thought we were going out... And then, after being there, I enjoyed my stay there. And we got told out of bounds area, and I went to an out of bounds area. It was the Sulu quarters, it was out of bounds. Went there one night, and a big Sulu, I was arguing with him. He took us in a rickshaw, in a vineyard, you know, I was riding. I never had enough to pay. I said, that's all I have. I don't know them. My mate said, so my mate thought, well, I said, you talk to him, so I'll pinch his rickshaw then. And this is the truth. So my mate talked to him, so I went in the rickshaw, and he was running after me, and I was running with the rickshaw, and I took the rickshaw back to camp. Well, there was uproar about it. Everybody was laughing their heads off me. We were rickshaw. Anyway, he got his rickshaw back, and now he never punished us. Got a dressing down over it, you know what I mean? And it was only fun, you know what I mean? Because we went, you know, up there.
Did you see how the white South Africans treated the blacks in the time you were there?
Well, actually, the only thing difference I seen while I was there, whites only, for toilets, blacks only. We seen all that, but I never seen any of them ill-treat them, you know, myself. And I thought the blacks, South African blacks, I thought it were all right. But this particular place where we went, it was a Zulu quarters, not far from the railway station back to the camp, like. And that's my own personal opinion, the black South African, I found them all right compared to other people, you know what I mean?
Was it a big camp that this...
Clarewood camp, yes. It was. The race course was on the left of it. It was quite a size, quite a lot. The only thing I didn't like about under the canvas are these, what do you call them, these big spiders. They used to crawl up and he used to be in the top of the tent, you know, and he could see them, you know. And you were on the floor, he put you off. No, but otherwise, the stay there, I enjoyed the stay.
How did you spend your time there? What were you doing?
Well, you kept doing running, cleaned your weapons, you know, and you got your weapons inspected pretty regular. You had to keep them up to scratch, everything like that. But you couldn't keep the dust. You had breech covers on them, you know, but you still got in your weapons. You still didn't run in and all that. Still kept you active. Fit. And then there was another boat come, I think it was... French line, I still remember her name. I think it was a ship called the Narconda. I think they called her the Narconda. And we all got aboard her. Nobody knew where we were going. Then after we'd been at sea 2 days, I think we went, I'm not sure was it when we went there or when we were coming out there. We went to Mombasa, I think. I'm not sure now, was it when we went or when we were coming out of there. And we dropped 2 officers off there. And they were RAF personnel, high rankers, but I don't know who they were. I don't know if when we were going or coming out. Anyway, we'd been at sea about 2 or 3 days. And then we were told we were going to India. And we were going through the Indian Ocean. And that's where we did. We landed in Bombay. When we landed in Bombay, disembarked, and on the quayside there, it was like we have here, where they put animals in pens, and that's what it was. We're all in these pens. We're all like animal pens. We're all in there. All just took your gear off, fully equipment on, sat down, all over the place. We must have been there, I don't know how many hours we've been there. And then all of a sudden they said, there's another ship coming with, they don't want us here. They want us urgently in the Middle East. And there was another ship then, and she'd just come from the Far East, and she was riddled in shells, you know, been funnels were marked all over the ship. So they called her the Felix Russell, I think. We boarded her and for the Middle East. Disembarked, embarked, that was all chew. And then we landed in Port Tuffig, I think, Port Tuffig. Disembarked there and straight into Geneva Base Depot.
What were your first impressions of Egypt?
Terrible. Well, that was a terrible state and all before we went to Egypt. I never seen such a sight in all my life as Bombay. I've never seen so many cripples just laid on the streets, walking, you know, beggars everywhere, every corner, begging for bread, begging for biscuits, heart attack. That's all we got issue with, heart attack. Just to scream and cry for heart attack off, you know, I just shut it down. And we were only there for 24 hours or more, maybe 48 hours, I forget now.
Did you just sleep where you were in these pen-like places?
Yeah, just got down to it, wherever you were.
When you got to Egypt, how did you find Egypt? What was it like as a first impression?
Well, the first impression I got when I got there was nothing, you know, like being in the middle of the ocean, nothing but sand everywhere you went. And Arab beggars, you know what I mean, and he got told to ignore them. And to me, like, between me and you, I never had no time for them. For the Arabs, I don't know why, but myself, for some of the things they used to do, you know what I mean. They'd be very nice to you, next minute they put a knife in you know what I mean, that type of people. And I believe, now reading it about the same today, you know what I mean, that's my opinion of the Arab people.
Geneva, was it a big camp?
Massive, Geneva.
Was it tented?
It's all under canvas, like, you know, and there was staff there. And I've been asking up to the day what battalion they were out of. Some said they were the second, some said they were first, because they had horse tops and they had green on the top of them. Green horse tops, you know. They were staff people, on the staff there. Oh, they were regular battalions, you know what I mean.
Was this an infantry base depot?
Yes, infantry base depot, yeah.
What were you doing there?
Oh, we were going, started training straight away there.
How did you find that? You say the heat didn't have any great effect upon you, but were they very careful about sunburn and this kind of thing?
Oh, yes. By right, well, the Tobies, you had to keep your head covered all the time, you know, and don't get exposed. If you did get sun, but you'd be punished for it because it was self-inflicted. You were told all this, you know, you got the instructions. And then I took bad. Well, actually, one that they called the ambulance fella to me. I couldn't. Like it, somebody just hit me like that. And we were in the tent when it, you know, when it happened. And there was a lad, I still remember, a lad called Bill Bettridge. He was from Liverpool, he was. And he said, we'll have to get somebody to this lad here. I remember him saying that, and they took me straight to hospital. And I didn't remember anything till the next day, and this nurse, she was Irish. I remember that instant, she hit me across the face. She said, listen, she said, you'll have to book yourself up. She said, you're seriously ill, but you'll have to, she said, you've got diphtheria. And that was the matter with us, diphtheria. So naturally, with me having diphtheria, I was in hospital. Well, all my mates then, they'd moved up the front. And that's when Rommel started his push towards Alex. Well, some of my mates then, like the one I was just telling you about, Bill Clayster, Ray, Redman, all them lads that I was with, Bill Bettridge. So naturally then I was more or less with strangers again when I come out of hospital and then that.
How did they treat you in hospital?
Well, the hospital itself, we had, what do you call these, mosquito nets over us, you know, and there used to be the medical officer and the nurse, what they call them, RSN nurse or something, and there was orderlies, one of our orderlies, but one of our orderlies, he was a big lad, about 6 foot, and I didn't like him, because to me, like, I think he was a queer, and they reckon he was interfering with different lads. That's, you know, you get to know this. And I was thinking of reporting him, to tell you the truth, because he was coming to me a bit once or twice, and I was a bit dodgy of him. But I got myself pulled through this Irish nurse. She was only small. Actually, she done me more good than anything else, because she pulled me through, you know what I mean, and then...
Was it very regimental in the hospital?
No, not... everybody had a SWAT. for the flies, you know, and so many flies, terrible the flies over there. That's where they go from this country in the winter.